We are holding on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the top. Mishnah says, Hamafkid Moetzei Tol Shulchani, if somebody deposits money for safekeeping by a money changer, now a money changer has a constant need for change. Im Tzrurin, well, however, therefore, if the money is bundled up, Lo Yishtamish Behen, then the money changer is not allowed to use that money. By bundling it up, and the Gemara is going to say it's more than just bundled, we'll talk about it in the Gemara, it demonstrates that the Maskid did not want the Shulchani to be using this money. Therefore, if the money is lost, we don't consider him a shoyl or shomer sachar, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, and therefore he's not responsible for what happens to them. So we'll talk about in the Gemara.
The Gemara is making, because there's
two ways of looking at it, which we'll see in the Gemara. Basically, it boils down to, is he a by the fact that he's allowed to use that money, would that make him a shomer sachar or a shoyl? If it makes him a shomer sachar, then a shomer sachar is usually chayev for aveda. So then we're going to have to reinterpret the word avdu or bar mishnah. If you say that he's a shoyl, then he would be chayev and oinsin as well. But in this case, he's not a shoyl because he didn't use it. So that in other words, that put it this way: if he uses it, he's either a shomer sachar or a shoyl.
He has to be a
feet
to shomer sachar.
Listen, if he is not able to use it, he might be a shomer chinam. He might be a shomer sachar. If he's a shomer chinam, he's potter on aveda. If he's a shomer sachar, he's chayev. So we'll see in the Gemara. The point is, it has to do with whether he's allowed to use it. It's a bala bayis. On the other hand, if you deposit money by a regular bala bayis, a regular person who doesn't have such a constant need for small change, I skipped a line. Mutarin, if the money is not tied up and you deposit it with a shulchani, by not tying it up, you showed that you don't mind if he uses it in his business as long as he makes sure there's enough available to repay you at the end. Yishtamish behen, therefore the money changer is allowed to use it. And therefore, if the money is lost, he's chayev in the achrayus of it because he's either a shoyl or a shomer sachar, as we will see in the Gemara. Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta talked in the previous perek talks about the idea we talked about over there, whether in general whether a shomer aveda is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. In the course of that discussion, Tosfos points out that in our Gemara over here, if we say that he's a shoyl, as we will discuss in the Gemara, he's not really technically a shoyl, but rather a loive. The difference is a shoyl usually is supposed to return the actual object that he borrowed. Here he's not obligated to return the actual coins. We're saying he can spend them and substitute other coins.
Having to restitute the money.
Usually, that's the point. Usually a shoyl is somebody you borrow, let's say, somebody's car or animal or what have you, and you return the exact same thing. That's the point. The difference in English, we use the word borrow for both of them. In Hebrew, you have two different words, shoyl and loive. Wow. A shoyl is somebody who borrows an object where he's supposed to be returning the actual object itself.
Including money.
As opposed to money, then you're not a shoyl, then you're a loive. So that's the thing.
You're never a shoyl with money.
Not unless you're just borrowing the money for display purposes or whatever. Tosfos argues that therefore over here, since we're talking about that you'd be allowed to spend the money and reimburse it afterwards, you're not really a shoyl, but rather a loiver. I think I was using the word shoyl sort of in a looser sense. Okay. Anyway, that's by a shulchan. Eitz of balabayis. On the other hand, if you deposited the money by a private person who does not have such a constant need for change, bein tzur and bein retor and lo yishtamish behen, whether the money is bundled up or whether it's unbundled, you're not allowed to use it because we can't assume that the maskid gave you any permission to use this money. And therefore, if the money is lost, then either way you're not chayev bachriyosan because you're not a shoyl or a shomer sachar, as the case may be.
We did this Mishnah before.
We mentioned it briefly. We mentioned this concept briefly in the previous perek, actually, in connection with the dinim of Shomer Aveda.
Okay.
Yes. Chen v'ni kebalabayis. What about, we talked about a shulchani who has a constant need for change. We talked about a balabayis, on the other hand, who doesn't. What about a chenveni, a storekeeper? So what's his status? He needs money, but not necessarily as much all the time as a shulchani. Therefore, chenveni kebalabayis divrei a mayor. So the mayor says a storekeeper is like a balabayis. You assume the money was not given to him to use. Therefore, he's not allowed to use it. Therefore, he's not a shomer sachar or a shoyl, as the case may be.
If he does,
he'd be shaleach yad, but cotton anyway. The point is, balabas, if he uses this money, he's going to commit a shlichus yad, because he had no permission to use it. Rav Meir is saying the same thing applies to a chenveni. Rav Yehuda and a chenveni kashochani, whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, a storekeeper is like a shochani because he does have a certain need for change. There's Gemara in Kedushin. Yeah, it's two different opinions. The Gemara in Kedushin mentions this part of the Mishnah, and Rashi explains over there one distinction is a storekeeper often buys things on credit. So unlike a shochani, he maybe doesn't have such a need all the time for money, because okay, he doesn't necessarily need to spend money right on the spot to get stock for his store. He can buy it on credit. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda points out that he does after all need it to run his business.
He may need it.
By the way, we're showing him talk about that. The Mordechai, for example, talks about that maybe in his times, where the most common occupation, as we know from history books, the most common occupation that Jews could do when they couldn't do a lot of other, when they were barred from doing a lot of other businesses, was money lending. Therefore, the Mordechai argues there's no real distinction in his times between a balabas and a shochani. Anybody, if they're given a pekadon of coins, is allowed to use it and reimburse it later. And then and the post can bring that to halacha. Again, on the other, but again, the things shift from time to time. And again, we talked about yesterday how Rav Moshe says that if you deposit money with somebody nowadays, that person is responsible for putting it in the bank. That's the safest place to keep it. And in that case, also, that means he doesn't have the right to spend it. He has to put it in a bank account and let it grow that way. Okay. Come on, ask me. Should be true in Leishtamish, man. What are you talking about? Just because the money is bundled up, it should imply that the shulchani is not allowed to use it. Never mind a simon. We're not talking about a lost object over here. We're talking about he gave it to you as a pekadon. The question is, just because it's bundled up, so what? People usually bundle up their money so it doesn't get scattered. What does that prove anything? Do you expect them to give you loose coins? So Rav Asi tells us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that the Mishnah doesn't just mean bundled up. It means bundled up and sealed up. By sealing it, he gets bundled up, fine, that's normal to do so it doesn't get scattered. Sealing it shows that you don't want it to be opened and used. Rav Mori, I'm a Bekesha Mishuna. Rav Mori says there's another possibility. It doesn't even have to be that it's sealed, per se. Just let's say he tied it with an unusual knot. That also might indicate that he doesn't want you to use it. So, yeah. Ikadamri, and another version of this last statement was that it wasn't a statement, but rather a question. Boyer Rav Mori. According to the second version, Amari asked the question, Kesha Mishunamai. Fine, it's a given that if Chasumin, like Rabbi Yehuda said, for sure you're not allowed to use it. What if it's only tied with a Kesha Mishuna? Is that enough to say that you shouldn't be able to use it? Kesha Mishunamai, an unusual kind of knot. No, it doesn't matter if it's Kayama or not, whatever. It's an unusual kind of knot, but not the typical knot that people would make in their bundles of money.
It's a typical knot.
Then obviously it's no different than Surin, yeah. And the answer is Teiku, we don't know, so therefore don't use it, Misafi. Then we said, "Matorin yishtamish behen chulo." That if the money is unbundled, you are allowed to use them. By the way, some of the noisy kelim on the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah talks about that. Actually, since we're making a distinction, since we're saying that surin means specifically chasumin or maybe kesher mishuna, maybe that implies he brings that the Torah holds that if the money is completely untied, even a balabas would be allowed to use it. Only, so in other words, there'd be three possibilities. It's completely untied, then anybody is allowed to use it. It's tied but not sealed, then a balabas, no, and a shulchan, yes, which is what our Mishnah says. And versus tied and sealed, then nobody is allowed to, again, as our Mishnah says.
And if it's not tied, it's sealed.
If it's not tied, then it's not tied. There's no seal to put on something that's not tied.
Could just anyone.
And there's no such thing. No. Okay.
Sealed means locked in this.
Yes, then locked. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Somehow closed up in a way that demonstrates he doesn't want it to be used. Okay. We said Mutorin Yishtamish Behen Chulo. We said if the money is unbundled, then a shochani is allowed to use it. And therefore, we said if it gets lost, he's chayev b'achri yosan, then he's chayev to reimburse. Amar Rav Huna b'afilu nemsu. So Rav Huna says that would mean not only he would be chayev if it got lost in ordinary aveda, like we've been talking about throughout the perek, the kind that a shem chinam is potter and a shem sachar is chayev, but even if there was an onus, even if he was robbed. So Rashi says, even if he didn't actually use it, because the very fact that he's able to use it makes him a shoyl about it, and a shoyl is chayiv and anything. Question is, v'ha'avdu katani? Why? The Mishnah uses the word avdu, which implies a lesser level of onus. It implies it got lost, for example. The answer is kidiraba. We could understand the word avdu in our Mishnah to mean like what Rabbah explains. We had this earlier in Eilat Matzias. We're going to have it again in the next parak. That Rabbah explains, the Amar Rabbah, Rabbah explains in connection with a Mishnah in Masechta Shkalim that describes the Machzor Shekel as getting Nignavu Avdu, stolen or lost. And he explains that the context that in that context, Nignavu means Balistin Mizuyan. Nignavu doesn't just mean it was stolen by a regular Ganav, it means it was stolen by an armed bandit, which is an Onus. And Avdu over there means Shatava Spinasa
Vayan.
It's a Gazlan. Well, we've learned before that he's sort of half Ganav, half Gazlan. He's like a ganav in the sense that he hides out. He doesn't stand there on the open road. He jumps out at you from the bushes or whatever. But he holds you up with a sword or what have you. But it is considered an onus, unlike a regular ganav, which is a lesser level of onus. And we say, so we say over there, Rabbi explains over there that the word nignavu means even that, even less than mezuyan, and avdu means shetavas spinasavaya, means that the ship sank, which again is an oinus. Therefore, in our Mishnah, you could say the same thing, that if the money is bundled up, then he is at least a shomer sacher, in other words. That's it. In other words, Rafuna would say that he is at least a shomer sacher. Therefore, Rav Huna is saying that even if Nemsu, because he would hold that if you're not allowed to use the money, then you're a shomer sacher. But if you're allowed to use the money, even if you didn't actually spend it yet, you become a shoyl of chayv and ointin. Therefore, that's what the Mishnah means. Im avdu, meaning even if it's a total oinus of a loss, such as v'lis v'mezuyin, etc., you would still be chayev. Rav Nachman amar nan suloi, whereas Rav Nachman says, no, if there was an oinus, you would be potter regardless. Because you're not a shoyl, you're just a shoyma sofer in that case. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, so now Rav asks Rav Nachman, v'didach dam nan suloi, okay, according to you, that you're saying if an oinus happens, you're not actually chayev. Alma lo have a shoyl alayhu, which implies, in other words, you're saying that the person, the shomer, is not considered a shoyl on this money, even though on the face of it he's allowed to use it. L'chore, he's a shoyl. Yeah, it means, in other words, he must be at most a shomer sacher, not a shoyl. He's shoyl lo have a shomer sacher, nami lo have on the face of it. If he's not a shomer sacher, he's not a shomer sacher either. If you're going to say, what? Because like this, if you're going to say that he's allowed to use the money, then fine, he has a hanah. He has kol ana shaloi, like a typical shoyl, or fine, you could find, in other words, what's the situation over here? We're talking about you didn't pay this shochani money to watch the money, to watch the coins for you. Otherwise, the Mishnah would have had to mention such a thing, and anyway, then you would be chayev for avdu regardless. Obviously, he's a shomer chinam. You're arguing that he's upgraded to a shomer sacher. On what basis? What basis is there to say that he should be a shomer sacher rather than a shoyl? If it's from the point of view that he's allowed to use the money, he ought to be a shoyl. If you're looking at it that the fact that he's allowed to use the money doesn't help anything, doesn't gain him anything, then he's not a shomer sacher either. He's not getting any of this chayav for watching this money. What makes him a shomer sacher, according to you?
So he's not a shomer sacher.
That's the question. Rav is asking Rav Nachman. Rav Huna's opinion makes sense.
Makes sense.
Fine, because he's allowed to use the money. Therefore he is a shoyl or a loiva, as Tosfos said before. As a shoyl or a loiva, as the case maybe he's chayv and ointin, just like any other shoyl or just like any other loiva. But according to Rav Nachman, he's being inconsistent. Why is he stopping at shomer sacher instead of making him a full fledged shoyl? Or why is he not saying he's a shomer chinam like he was originally? What is the fact that he has money in his possession? How does that turn him into a shomer sacher? Amalei, Sir Rav Nachman answers him, Bahomo dinalach, I do agree with you as far as the following point. It is true that he's not a shoyl until he actually uses the money, but the hoyl v'nana mehena, because he has a certain hana. Since he has the hana of that, if there were to come along something that he could that he could buy something with which there would be a potential gain, zavan bahu, he would be able to buy it. Already at this point, in other words, Rav Nachman says like this. You have to distinguish like this. Rav Nachman says, once he gets the money in his possession, again, if it's not surin v'chasumin, like we said before, it's not tied and it's not sealed. It's in a way that shows that the owner doesn't mind him using it. Fine. Once he uses it, sure, he's a shoyl, of course, no question about that. From the time when he receives that tekadin until he starts using it, Rav Nachman would say he's a shomer sacher. Because at that point, you can't call him a shoyl yet. He hasn't actually borrowed the money and started using it yet. However, he is a shomer sacher because he has that potential benefit. He has the knowledge that any time he wants, if a good business deal comes his way, he's going to be able to untie that bundle and use the money. That makes him a shomer sacher, Rav Nachman argues. So therefore, as a shomer sacher, he's potter from Ointzin as usual. Therefore, Rav Nachman can understand the word avdu in our Mishnah at its face value, that it means the regular kind of aveda, which a shomer sacher is chayev for, but and a shoyl is also chayev for. So therefore, fine, if it was bundled up, then he's not chayev b'achriyusin if avdu, because he's not a shomer sacher, he's only a shomer chinam. If it's unbundled,
which is a presumption that he used,
not presumption that he used it. He's able to use it. The fact that he's able to use it makes him a shomer sacher. And once he uses it, he will go even further and be a shoyl. By the way, you know, earlier when we in Eilat Maaseiach, Tosfos talked about, we had a long Tosfos over there that talked about the point. We had over there a machlokes between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, whether a person who's watching over an Aveda is considered a Shema Chinam or a Shema Sachar. We had Rabbi Yosef's point that he's a Shema Sachar because of Prutta did Rabbi Yosef, because while he's watching it, he's caught over an Aveda. Well, okay, so Tosfos says over there, on the face of it, that if we say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef over there, that a regular Shema Aveda is a Shema Sachar, how would that fit with our Gemara, where the halacha ends up being like Rabbi Nachman, that to begin with, he's a Shema Sachar, and only when he uses the money does he become a Shoyal. There we talk about, Tosfos explains like this. We had the case over there, in the case of an Aveda, where we said, let's say you found an animal. We said there's a certain amount of time you're obligated to watch the animal. After that, once the cost of the upkeep for it exceeds most of the value of the animal, then you sell it and put aside the money. What are you allowed to do with the money? We had a machlokas from Tazfin and Rabbi Akiva over there, whether you're allowed to use that money for your own purposes or not. We said that if you're able to use that money, and then we argued that would make you a shomer sachar according to Rabbi Yosef, and a shomer according to Rabbi Yosef you would then be a shoyel, and according to Rabbi you would be a shomer sachar. Now Tosfos says that if we say the halacha there was like Rabbi Yosef that you're a shoyel once you're able to use the money, and the halacha is like Rabbi Nachman over here that you're a shoyel only when you actually use the money, how would that fit?
Right.
So that leads Tosfos to say therefore the halacha over there must be like Rabbi, a regular shomer of an aveda of the money of an aveda is a shomer chinam. Once he's, the fact that he's able to use the money makes him a Shema Sachar. And therefore, over here, you would have that, that's what he is also, and it would be consistent with you. Most other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, and they say there's a difference. They say there's a difference because, among other things, there's a few different arguments why. One of them we learned then, we had Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Baalei Tosfos, argues that what it is like this. Each time you're going up one level, if the guy starts out ordinarily a Shema Aveda would be a Shema Chinam, the fact that he's able to use the money makes him a Shema Sachar. If we say over here you start out as a Shema Sachar, the fact that you're able to use the money, using it makes you a Shoyal. And therefore you keep on going up one level, and similarly according to Rabbi Yosef. So there's not necessarily a contradiction. We said there's another possibility also that the difference is over there it's an Aveda. There's no person giving you permission to use the money because the person himself doesn't know that the animal or whatever it is was lost. Here you have a person giving you permission to use the money, so therefore that creates a difference. A spirit of Nachman and Ravuna. Okay, so
the halacha is still like
the halacha is like Rav Nachman and our Gemara over here. And according to most of the Rishonim, and that's the halacha is like Rav Yosef over there by a Shomer Aveda, that a regular Shomer Aveda, regardless of whether he's allowed to use it or not, is a Shomer Sachar. Okay. A spirit of Nachman and Ravuna. Okay, Rav Nachman asks Ravuna as follows. So you're telling me, so far what do we have? Rav Huna is saying that this person, even he didn't use the money yet, but the fact that he's able to already makes him a shoyel, whereas Rav Nachman would argue when he's able to use the money, that only makes him a shema sachar. When he actually uses it, that'll make him a shoyel, or a loiva, really, whatever.
So that's the degree.
Yeah. So Rav Nachman asks on Rav Huna as follows. You have a braisa that says, in connection with the dinim of Me'ila, Hamaskid Moiseit or Shulchani, if a person deposits coins by a money changer. Now here we're talking about this person who deposited it is a gizbar. He's one of the treasurers of Hektish. He takes this bundle of money, not realizing that it belongs to Hektish. He thinks it's his own money and deposits it with a money changer for safekeeping.
Where is it Hektish?
Where it's really Hektish. The point is, the reason why it has to be that way is because we're going to talk about when Me'ila is committed. If the gizbar himself knew it's not his money, then as soon as he gave it to the shulchani already, Me'ila has been committed. But here we have to talk about that he didn't even know. He thought it was his own money.
Right.
He thought it was his own. Therefore, Me'ila has to take place at some later point. So,
if you need Das to commit Me'ila?
No, I mean, Me'ila itself takes place for Shogeg. But the point is, Me'ila takes place only when it's taken out of the Rishus of Hektish.
Yeah.
So again, if the gizbo knew that it belonged to Hektish, or even if he thought that it was somebody else's or whatever, then as soon as he gives it to the shulchan, he knows that he's removing it from one person's or from Hektish's rishus and giving it to another. At that point, Me'ila would have been committed. But if he thinks it's his own money, he doesn't know that you need the das to know that you're giving from one rishus to another.
You don't need to know
that it's Hektish, though.
Huh.
That's the point. Huh. Okay. Anyway. Im Srurin Lo Yishtam. So the Mishnah over there, the Braisa rather over there, and Me'ila makes the same distinction as our Mishnah does. Im Srurin Lo Yishtam. If the money is bundled up, and as we said in our Gemara over here, sealed up, then the Shulchani is not allowed to use that money. L'fichach im Hoitzi. Therefore, if the Shulchani does disobey the instructions and goes and spends that money, loy ma'ala gizbar. The gizbar has not committed me'ila because the shulchani is not acting as a shliach. We've learned before, when we learned Soviets about me'ila and Kedusha and various other places, the Gemara discusses the concept. Usually we say ein shliach l'dvar avera. If Reuven tells Shimon to do an avera, Shimon is the one who's going to be chayev for any penalties or whatever, not Reuven. Because Reuven can argue the famous thing, divya rav, divya talmid, divya mishayim. I told him to do something. The Eved told him to do something different. Why is he listening to me? He's a ben das. He should know better. Me'ila, we learned in Kedushin from Sukkim over there, is an exception to that. Maybe there were a couple of other exceptions we said over there, whatever. But the Me'ila is one of the rare exceptions. Where if Reuven tells Shimon to commit Me'ila, as long as Shimon is acting as Reuven's shliach, then Reuven will be the one who's chayev for Me'ila.
Shimon will not.
And Shimon will not. So now, over here, if the Shulchani is acting as the Gizbar's shliach, then the Gizbar will be chayev. In this case, he's not, though, because the Gizbar gave him the money sealed up, implying don't spend it, and he went and spent it. That means he opened it and spent it. That means he's not doing it as a shliach of the Gizbar anymore. He's doing it on his own. Therefore, he's the one who ends up committing Me'ila.
Because it was sealed,
yeah.
Not because it was tied.
Well, that's what we said before, that Surin implies sealed, I'll say. The immutorin, on the other hand, if the money is untied, yishtamish behem, then the shulchani is allowed to use it. Lefichach im hoti, ma'ala gizbar. So therefore, when the shulchani spends that money, the gizbar will be the one who committed me'ila, because he's acting as a shliach on behalf of the gizbar.
The gizbar told him specifically not to use it if it was hektish.
If he knew that it was hektish, again, the gizbar was ma'ala as soon as he gave it. Yeah, the whole point is, we're saying the gizbar himself didn't realize it belonged to hektish. Now, so Rava asks, "V'i amar tafilu nansu." Now you're telling me in our Gemara over here that Rav Nachman asks Rav Huna, "You're telling me in our Mishnah, as soon as the Shulchani receives this unbound thing of money, or unsealed whatever thing of money, he's already considered a shoyl." My Uyahoti. Then, and you're saying Afilu Nansu. You're saying therefore the Shulchani of our Mishnah is chayav even in Onsin because he's already a shoyl or a loiva, whatever you want to call it. Well then, so who cares whether the Shulchani actually spent the money yet? Even if he didn't spend it yet, it was already effectively lent to him. You're saying he becomes a loiva just by having received that money. In that case, at that moment that it's given to him, it's taken out of the Rishus of Hekdesh. What do you mean Me'ila is only committed later on when he spends it?
But it's different with Hekdesh, maybe.
No. We have no reason to say that it would be any different. Amalei, so Rav Huna answers him, who had not filled apagav the lohosi? No, because you could answer that the braisa means to say it doesn't matter. It's true. The shulchani will have committed, or in the case where it's untied, it doesn't even have to be that the shulchani spent the money. Even if he didn't spend it yet, in the second case of the braisa, even if he didn't spend it yet, the gizbar is indeed committing the ila as soon as he gives it to him. But I didn't. Tana Reisha Hoti, Tana Sefer Nami Hoti. Just since the first part of the Mishnah had to mention Hoti, because again, in the first part of the Mishnah, unless the Shulchani spent it, it was tied up, it was sealed up. Unless he untied it and spent it, no Me'ila has been committed yet, because it wasn't given into a different Rishus. So there, in that part, it did have to say Hoti. Therefore, in the Sefer, it actually explains differently. The point is, the Chiddush of the Reisha is, Even if the Shulchani spends the money, the Gizbar is not the one who's committed Me'ila, because again, it wasn't done in his Shlichus. He gave it to him sealed, meaning don't use it. Therefore, Tana Sefer Nami Hoti, therefore the Sefer also uses the word Hoti, even though it's true, Rav Huna says, in the Sefer you don't need the Shulchani to spend the money in order for him to commit Me'ila. As soon as, in order for the Gizbar, rather, to have committed Me'ila, as soon as the Shulchani in the Sefer of that Braisa, Rav Huna would learn the Braisa to say, as soon as the Shulchani receives this unbound bundle of money, because it's unbound or unsealed, whatever, implying go ahead and use it, Rav Huna would argue the moment he receives it, he already becomes a loiva. Being a loiva, he's chayav b'onsin, as we say in our Mishnah. Being a loiva, also Me'ila has been committed at that moment when it's given over to him.
As opposed to the ratio
where it was tied, and therefore if he untied it, then the shulchani is the one who's chayav, and the gizbar is going to be potter, right? And not before that, exactly. So therefore, Rav Huna says that braisa is not a contradiction to my position. Nevertheless, the usual rule in Dini Mominis is that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, and so it is over here also, the halacha is like Rav Nachman against Rav Huna.
It's only against Rav Huna?
No, against most of the Rav. Halacha is usually like Rav Nachman and Dini Mominis. Because the Gemara mentions because Rav Nachman himself was a Dayan, and therefore he was very familiar with the ins and outs. Not Machmir. He was therefore very familiar with the ins and outs of the Nimamanus. I should mention, by the way, the Rambam Paskin's not exactly like our Brice over here. There's the Rambam Paskin's that the Shulchani is not chayav either way, which leads the Meforshim on the Rambam to ask why not. Has that fit with our Gemara over here? And among the answers given is that Rambam would hold that our Brice is only according to one opinion. There's other Brices, in particular, the Tosfos over here has a bit of a discussion on a comparison of this with the Brice that's brought in the next Perek about the dinim of buying and selling, where it implies over there that there's a difference, that halacha is not necessarily like our fine. The Gemara brought this brisa to see how Rav Huna would explain it. But as far as a matter of halacha, the halacha does not necessarily have to follow this brisa.
So what's the halacha then?
The halacha would be like the Rambam says that the Shulchani is not the Shulchani is not loyal either way. The halacha is like Rav Nachman in our case over here, that anyway the Shulchani is potter from Einstein. He's not a full fledged loiva. He's only a shema sachar, and only when he actually spends the money does he become a shoyl or a loiva, as the case may be. Mishnah says, "Hashaleach yad b'pikadon, a shomer who misuses the pikadon," which we talked about shlichus yad the other day. Now we're going to talk about it more. Now we talked about the other day that if he's shaleach yad, it's a form of gzela. So we talked about what the exact nuance of the difference is between Shlichus Yad and Zela, but whatever, he becomes chayav in anything that happens that Pikadon after that. Even in the Shem HaSachar, Shem HaChinam rather, he still becomes chayav even in Ointin once he did Shlichus Yad.
Well, I thought it's one of Gneva, actually.
Gneva, Zela, same difference, whatever. Yeah. So Beshama says what happens is, therefore, we penalize him according to the lesser amount or according to the greater amount. Now, Rashi explains over here, which is going to be the Hava Amina of the Gemara, what we mean is as far as if the value of it went up or down. If when he originally got it as a pikadon, it was worth more, and now it's worth less, at the time of the Shlichus Yad, we're going to make him pay the higher value. The other way around, if he received it at a lower value and now by the time he did the Shlichus Yad, it's worth more, you're going to make him pay more, either way. We'll see in the Gemara that there may be another, we'll see in the Gemara another possibility of what they mean. No, not really a knas, actually. Most of the Rishonim say that it's rather because it's gzela, because we'll see in the Gemara, because Kolagaz won in Misham and Keshach gzela. We'll see. Or Besilim Keshach Haitzah, whereas Besilil says you go according to the time of Haitzah, which the Gemara will talk about what Haitzah means. Rabbi Akiva and Keshach HaTviyah. And Rabbi Akiva, third opinion, says you go according to the time, how much it's worth, when the owner of it takes into Beis Din about it. And the Gemara will again discuss why Rav Akiva holds that way.
What was Beis Shammai again?
Beis Shammai is that you always go according to the higher value between when he gave it to him as a pikadon and when he did Shlichus Yad. Whichever value is higher is what he pays. Is what he pays, yeah.
If it was high initially, then it's initially. If it was high later, then it was later.
Yeah. Okay. So Gemara says, Omar Rabba, it says on the side over here, Rabba or Rava says, Hayman de gozoch chavisa de chamre mechabre. Let's take a scenario. A person steals, never mind a shomer that we're talking about in Mishnah, an ordinary case of a person who steals, a barrel of wine from another person. Me'ikra shavya zuz, hashta shavya abba. Let's say this barrel of wine, originally when he stole it, was worth one zuz, and now, later on, it becomes worth four zuz. Later on, when it's destroyed. When it's destroyed, it's worth four zuz. Now, how did it get destroyed? Tavra Oshasya, if he himself broke it, broke the barrel, Oshasya, or he drank it, Mishalam Abba, then we will make him pay four.
The higher price.
If by Mimela, but if it broke on its own, Mishalam Zuzah, then he'll only pay the one zuz. Wait, we're going to see. The Gemara is bringing this in for a reason. My timer, what's the reason? Because let's consider the two scenarios. If he himself breaks it or drinks it, means up until that point it was still intact. Now, if it had been intact up until the time that it was to be returned to the owner, he would have returned the actual barrel itself. Therefore, the time when he drinks the barrel or when he breaks it, is the point at which he's actually stealing it at that point, because now he's making it impossible to return. Utsnan, and therefore we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kama, Kola Gazlon and Misham and Keshat HaGzela. Any Gazlon pays according to the value of how much it was worth when it was stolen. Therefore, there's actually an interesting... Well, Okay, there's actually an interesting discussion between two of the acronym, the Tzoyis and the Nesivos. What happens over here? What we're dealing with over here? Is it, now we know there's a concept, we learned in Baba Kama, a concept called Agonav Minagana Potter, that if Reuben steals something and then Shimon steals it from him, then Shimon is Potter. Because it was already, once Reuben stole it, it's already out of the reshus of the owner. So the Tzoyis argues over here that what happens is like this. When he breaks or drinks the barrel of wine, we're not actually being mechayev him as if he ganvid it again. We're being mechayev him as a mazik, and therefore we make him pay the full value of it now. As opposed to the nesiva said, when would you consider it? So as opposed to the next case over here where we're going to say that if it broke on its own, he didn't do anything with it, then we would pater him mitzad agonav min aganav potter, and therefore he's only chayev for the original gneva. The Nesivus in turn argues with that and says that no, the difference is you have to consider is the second act causing it to be, it's not a matter of mazik or not, is the second act of gneva causing it to be removed any further from the owner's reshus. If he just, let's say, after he stole it, he picked it up, then you're not bringing it any more out of the owner's reshus than it was before. On the other hand, if you actually drank it or broke it, then you have further removed it from the owner's reshus, because now you made it, as the Gemara is saying over here, impossible to return. Therefore, we're going to penalize you as Hagonav Min, therefore we're going to penalize you and not apply this Hagonav Min Aganav business, because you created a new act of Gneva that didn't exist before.
So it doesn't make sense.
Continues the Gemara, if the barrel broke on its own, then he would pay only the one zuz that it was worth originally. My time, a hashtag of a level immunity, because now he's not doing anything. He's not doing any further act of gneva or taking it any further out of the owner's reshus, whatever. I might come a chayv slave. So what are you being mechayv him for? On what grounds are you being mechayv him? Ahi shaited gzela. You can only be mechayv him on the grounds of the original time of the gzela, when he originally stole it, when he originally took it out of the owner's reshus. Well, ha'hi shaita zuzahu deshavya. At that time, it was only worth a zuz. Therefore, you only make him pay a zuz in that case. That's Rabba's din. Now, let's see if we can make it fit with our Mishnah. Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, b'shilu lo'im k'shatei tzah. We said that b'shilu says, and obviously, when you have a machlokas b'shilu b'shamai, we know generally b'shamai b'mkoyim b'shilu lo'im Mishnah, that when b'shamai says something against b'shilu, the vast majority of the time, the halacha is not like them. Therefore, the halacha is going to have to be either like this Hillel or maybe like Rabbi Akiva, as we'll talk about in the Gemara. So, this Hillel says Keshat Haitzah. This Hillel says you pay according to the time of Haitzah. Now, my Keshat Haitzah, what do you mean by Haitzah? Elim Keshat Haitzah min ha'olam. Shall we say that it means that you make him pay according to the value when he took it out of the world, meaning when it got destroyed? Well, then it was my. So then what would be, so what happened over there? Is it, in what case are the Tzillo arguing? Iba Chaser, are they talking about when it went down in value? So in other words, originally when he stole it, it was worth four, and now by the time he drank it or what have you, it's worth only one. And you would argue that Mishamai would say that he has to pay four in that case, because Bechaser over Yeser, you always make him pay the higher value. And the Tzillo, you'd be saying, makes him pay only the one. Why? The Ikalam Andama, why? Who is there that says such a thing? You say that all gazlonim have to pay according to the time of gzela. So there's no question in that case he'd have to pay four. The Ibi Yeser, and if you're going to say that, fine, they agree in that case he has to pay four, and if it's Shammai, but they're saying exactly the same thing as the Shammai, there's no machlokas. Therefore, evidently, Batilo, when they say Keshatzaitza, they can't mean when he removed it from the world, when he destroyed it. They must mean that Batilo, it must mean that would be, well, that would be sort of the second Zela, so to speak. But we're talking about, in other words, if Kola Gazlan and Mashaman Keshatzaitza Zela, he should be paying according to the original value. There's no reason to say that if he stole it, it was worth four, and now by the time he drank it, it should be worth one. You're not going to allow him to benefit from that and make him pay only one for sure. So it would say that he pays four. But they have to be arguing with the Shammai and something. Evidently, what Basilo means when they say Keshatzaitza, they must mean how much was it worth when he took it out of the owner's house. Meaning, he is a shomer, when it was brought out of the owner's house and brought to him to be a shomer on, we go according to its value then. And that would be, so therefore, that would be the machlokas, in other words. But Shammai would be saying that, if it was worth one when you first became a shomer on it, and now by the time you were shaleach yad, or stole it, or whatever, it's worth four, but Shammai would make you pay four. And the Sula would say you only pay one according to the original value.
Because that's the initial...
Because that's, yeah. The problem with that is, Lema Rabba Dhamma Kabesh Shammai. In that case, are you going to tell me that a Rabba holds like Kabesh Shammai, which is not a libid deochaza? Because Rabba would be saying that in that case, because he himself broke it or drank it, you'd make him pay four. It sounds like, once we understand the mission of the way we just did, Bissila would say you pay only one. Now, Tosfos asked, why didn't the Gemara just say, okay, maybe Bissila and Bissila are not arguing about the case where you yourself drank it. Maybe they're talking about the case where it broke on its own. And the answer is that Bissila would have no reason to argue and make you pay the higher price.
Okay. So what's the solution?
So the solution is, now, Omalach Rabba, Rabba will answer you as follows. The yeser kolamalei pligi. If it went up in value, then it's true. Both Bishama and Bisilla would agree you pay according to the higher value. So if it was worth one when you first got it as a pekudin, and by the time you broke or drank it, it's worth four, both Bishama and Bisilla would agree you pay four. Therefore, what I'm saying, you pay four in that case, goes according to Bisilla as well. Ki pligi b'choser. Rather, the machloikas is that if it went down in value. And let's go back then. When we just said that hotzah, according to Bitzilu, can have two meanings. We tried to say that maybe it means hotzah min ha'olam, the time when it was destroyed. And we said that doesn't seem to work. It must mean hotzah min beis ha'olam. No, Rabbi will tell you your original assumption is correct. Kishat hotzah min ha'olam, the time when it was destroyed, is what Bitzilu would say you pay according to the value then. So, meaning when it was destroyed. If it went down in value, therefore, Bitzilu would say that you pay in the lesser amount. I call a gazlon and misham and kishas exela, because the machlokas is rather like this. The difference is, Rashi explains. Rabba would say like this. There's a difference between a gazlon when he first got it already. The moment it came into his hands, it was already beis. Therefore, you can say that the exela took place then when he first got it into his hands, took it out from the base of Bailin. The shomer, when he first got it was the heter, though the owner asked him to watch it. It's only later on, when he commits shlichus yad, that he becomes a gazlan. That's the point at which the zela takes place. Now, what is actually happening at that time? Beshamai sabri shlichus yad einat tzuricha chisaron. So Beshamai holds the concept that we discussed the other day, that to be chayev on shlichus yad, it doesn't require that anything is actually missing from the pikadin. As soon as you appropriate it, even if there's nothing actually missing yet, at that point, you have done gzela. Therefore, if it goes down in value, it's already in his reshus at that point. So therefore, in other words, the shamai would say, you would have to pay according to the value that it was worth at the time of shlichus yad. And therefore, the higher value. At that point, if it goes down from four to one zuz, all that means is you yourself, what you stole is now worth less. That doesn't absolve you of paying the original amount, because at the time it was worth four when you did shlichus yad, right? As soon as you took it out of the reshus, right? Or Bisilo Sabri, shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, whereas Bisilo would hold, like the opinion that we attributed the other day to Rav, that shlichus yad does require chisaron. Does require something to be actually missing. Therefore, when you did shlichus yad, when you started the process of shlichus yad, it's not gzela has not been shlichus yad has not yet been committed. When does it happen? V'chi chaser b'shuta demare chaser. So therefore, when you drank it exactly, but at that point, the fact that it went down from four to one was still in the reshus of the owner. It went down to one while the owner still owned it, because you only did shlichus yad and therefore acquired it when you actually broke it or drank it. And therefore, Bissilla would say you pay only the one.
It's hard. I mean, to think like Bissilla, because first of all, by taking it out of the Shus of Balim,
but again, Rashi says there's a distinction between a gazlan and a shomer. A gazlan, to begin with, when he picked it up and took it out of the reshus of the owner, sure, he's a gazlan at that point.
Yeah.
A shomer, when he took it out, he was doing it beheter. He was doing it as a shomer. Later on, he betrayed his shomer status by becoming a gazlan, by being shaleach yad. Fine, but if we say shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, he's not even considered a shaleach yad until he actually starts breaking or drinking it, because only at that point is there a chisaron. Fine, by that time it's already gone down in value to one, and therefore that's the point at which the gzela happens, and that's the point when we say kol hagazlonin misham and kishas gzela.
So the case of the shomer and the case of the gazlon.
The gazlon are two different things. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos points out like this. The next Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talks about that Be'ez Shammai says, even if a person only thinks, or we'll talk about tomorrow whether it means thinks or speaks, whatever, to do Shlichus Yad, already he's considered a Shaleach Yad. We'll see tomorrow whether it means thinks or speaks, but wait. Well, the point is, we see that even without doing Shlichus Yad, Be'ez Shammai says you're already considered to be Shaleach Yad. Why would we need our Mishnah as well to make the same point that Shlichus Yad ain't a Shlichus Yad? We'll see tomorrow. Wait. The point is, Tosfos asks that it's repetitious. If you have, if even without a Maisa you consider a Shaleach Yad, then for sure Shlichus Yad ain't a Shlichus Yad. And what's the point of mentioning it? So therefore, so Tosfos says that actually, no. The point is that in our case over here, we're talking about there was Meshicha. You did pick it up. In other words, there's two different things. Beis Shammai is telling you that not only in a case like ours where you picked it up, but nothing is actually lost yet, you're already a Shaleach Yad, but even if you think or speak about it where you didn't even pick it up, you didn't do Meshicha or anything, already there you're Chayav. As opposed to Bitzilah would say that not. Okay, no, Beis Shammai holds that Machshava is enough. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Ramban actually learns differently. The Ramban says that even Beis Shammai would agree that even Beis Shammai, if we're saying over here Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chisaron, fine. But Beis Shammai would agree that the machshava to be Shaleach Yad is not going to be a valid machshava unless it's a machshava to actually take something from it. If the machshava is just, for example, to pick it up for yourself, Beis Shammai would agree that's not considered anything. So it has to be one or the other, says the Ramban. Either something is missed, either you have in mind to actually take something from it, or you actually do Shlichus Yad. You actually pick up the thing, even if nothing is missing. But not that you just thought or spoke about it, but all you thought about was, let's say, I'm just going to pick it up for myself. That even Beis Shammai would agree is nothing.
So really, according to Beis Shammai, it's about from the time of Emaisi, it goes back to the Kavanah.
Again, according to the Ramban, there's a difference. According to Tosfos, there's no real difference. Right, as soon as you think about it or speak about it, whatever, then already you become Chayev in Shlichus Yad, regardless whether there's Chisorin or not. According to the Ramban, it has to be one or the other. Either I said, I'm going to actually drink some of this wine, that would really make you Chayev, or you actually picked up the barrel without anything being lost from it.
And the Kavanah?
It doesn't matter. Well, at that... The point is, even with kavana or not, the kavana has to be, there has to be one or the other. Either there's kavana to take some, or there has to be an actual maisa. There can't just be, if I just said, I plan to pick up this barrel and keep it for myself, that wouldn't mean anything. Okay. The problem is, if we're going to understand that Beis Shammai holds Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chisaron, that to be chayev for Shlichus Yad, to be chayev in Onsin doesn't require that anything of the actual pekodin is missing. Elohad Amar Rava, what about this that Rava said the other day, Shlichus Yad Ein Tzricha Chisaron, where we had over there where Rava argued that Shlichus Yad does not need Chisaron. He said you can prove Levi's point over there like that. Lamed Rava Damaka Beis Shammai, fine, now you have a similar problem as we just did with Rava. You're going to say that Rava holds like Beis Shammai? Yeah, doesn't work. No. Elohad Maeskin, no, rather we have to answer differently. The Shlichus Yad we're talking about in our Mishnah is not talking about where he's actually planning to drink or otherwise remove any of the pikadin at all. Rather, suppose that in our Mishnah he's just moving the barrel in order to climb up on it to get some young birds. Therefore, the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel has nothing to do with Rabba's case, where you actually drank or broke the barrel. Rather, we're dealing here with a different issue. The machlokas is, when a person borrows something without the das of the owner, what does that make him? Beis Shammai would hold that makes him a gazlan. As a gazlan, therefore, he is chayev in oinsin, just like a regular gazlan is chayev in anything that happens to the thing until he returns it. And again, therefore, when it loses in value, when it goes down from 4 zuz to 1, it's already considered in his possession. Therefore, he's the one who has to eat that loss. He still has to repay 4 zuzim to the owner. Whereas Vesilov says he's still just considered a shoyl. Fine, he's chayiv and unsin, but still, when it goes down in value, it's still in the reshus of the owner. Until he actually breaks it or what have you, it's still considered in the owner's possession. He's just considered a shoyl. Fine, he's upgraded himself that now he's chayiv and oinsin, but not that he's chayiv as a shaleach yad. And therefore, so therefore, if it goes down in value from 4 to 1, it's still in the owner's reshus. Therefore, if at that point he were to do something that's considered actual shlichus yad, such as drinking it or what have you, he'd only be chayav of the one. So therefore, that can still fit with what Rava says, because we're not talking about shlichus yad or not, we're dealing with a different issue.
Between
Gazlan and Shoyim, rather. Then what about Elohadu Amar Rava? What about, we have another thing that Rava says. Shoyim Shalemi Das Rabbanim Gazlan Habi. In a different sugi and Bava Basra, Rava says that according to the Rabbanim, there's machlokas over there between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about a case over there where a person sends his son to a storekeeper with a coin and a container to get some oil, and the kid loses the coin or breaks the container, who's chayev is the so Rava explains over there that the situation over there is that the storekeeper borrowed the container without permission, and the Chachamim say that the storekeeper is chayev for the breakage. So therefore, he says Shor Shalom Adas Rabban and Gazlan Habi, that he's a Gazlan. Question is Leimer Rava Drama Kibbutz Shammai. If you're telling me that the Shammai are the ones who hold that that's considered a Gazlan, then you're again saying that Abbanon over there hold like the Shammai. Well, that's no good. No, let's try yet another possibility. We're not talking about over here, when we say Chosu V'Yeser in our Mishnah, what do we say? Our Mishnah had said that the Shammai had said Yuka B'Chosu V'Yeser. All this time we've been assuming that that means that we make him pay according to the higher value, how much was it worth when he received it as a pekodin, or when he did Shlichus Yad and he pays the higher of the two values. Now we're going to change that assumption. Chosu V'Yeser has nothing to do with how much it goes up or down in value. Rather, the shvach shogzela from the chagi. We are actually arguing over here about improvements that actually come from the gzela itself. For example, it grew wool, it became pregnant. So therefore, b'shamay sabri shvach zela de nigzel havi. Therefore, b'shamay holds that this improvement of the gzela belongs to the nigzel, to the one that it was stolen from. So therefore, in other words, so the Shammai is saying Yoka b'chaser v'yeser, meaning, in other words, for example, if it had wool and he sheared off the wool, that wool belongs to the balabas. So he has to return it to the balabas. The yeser, if the animal became pregnant while it was by him, same thing. He has to return that value to the owner. Right. Ubisil sabi shvach zela de gazlan habi, whereas the silul will hold that the shvach goes to the gazlan.
So actually, there is
an interesting machlokas between the rif and the balamar. What are we talking about then? We have to distinguish between, now we're going to have in a minute, we're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in our Gemara over here, which is going to make a distinction between the time when you sued him in Beis Din, and we're going to say there's a difference with those Edim. Let me see if I have this straight, because it's easy to confuse. You have the Rif and you have the Balamur. The Rif holds that the wool that you sheared off before the guy took you to Beis Din for it, you have to return to him. Any wool that grew after that, no, the other way around, sorry. The Rif says that any wool that grew up until that point, we're saying over here that the Gazlan would be able to keep, says this hero. Any wool that grew after that, you're going to have to return to the Balabas. The Balamar holds the other way around. The Balamar holds because only when he sued you in Beis Din, at that point, you become a Gazlan. Because up until this point, you were a Shomer. Therefore, anything that grew after that, you're going to be able to keep. Anything that grew up until that point, you'll have to return to him.
It's kind of intermediary between the Shomer and the Hero.
Sort of, but not really. I mean, the halacha is like the Hero. The halacha is the Gemara is not explicitly saying that, but we're saying that there is, given that at some point he switches, given that we can either look at it in one of two ways. We can look at it that up until now it was in the reshus of the Gazlan, and now it reverts to the reshus of the Balabas, or we can say the other way around.
When
he stews him in Beis Din, when there's Edim, whatever. Or we could say the other way around. Up until now, it was in the Rishus of the Balabas, because he was a Shomer. Now that we find out that he was a Shaleach Yad, that he became a Gazlan, then therefore now it's in his Rishus. So that basically is the crux of the Machlokas between the Rif and the Balamar. Okay. So, would
agree with that machlokes.
So that's worse than that. Obviously, it has to be because we know that halacha is like Mesilla against Beis Shammai. I mean, mind you, I don't know. Over here, we have Beis Shammai Sabi Shvach Zeva the Nigzel Havi, and there's a little there's a little base over here that indicates the halacha, but that doesn't mean the halacha is like Beis Shammai. It means that Beis Shammai would agree. It means that the halacha was saying that Beis Shammai agrees to Beis Shammai to a certain extent. That there's a distinction between the time before and after Shas Hamadav Adin, the time when he's suited. Therefore, the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Shammai effectively is the same as the machlokas of the following tanoi. The tanya, hagozel of the rochel, if a person steals a sheep, gozes of a yolda, and afterwards he sheared it or gave birth, mishalom oseves yuzeseves for what it says, divir Meir. Reb Meir says you have to pay for it as well as for the we have to pay back the shearings and
like
the like the shamay divir Meir. Reb Yehuda emek zela chazera speinel. Whereas Reb Yehuda says the zela returns just as it is, meaning minus the wool and minus the blooders, because those are already a shinui.
Right.
Those are already a shinui. So that's the thing. Okay, Tosfos says Tosfos says that's the thing. We're talking about over here. Rabbi Yehuda would say that if there's a shinui, therefore you're coming in with that shinui. Okay. So therefore, yeah, Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Meir, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda.
Maybe it's also the shinui when he breaks, so he drinks.
And at that point, he committed zela. And at that point, Rabba said he's high of the four zuzin. Yeah. Dekanami, in fact, the Gemara says you can prove from the words of our Mishnah that, in fact, that is what Beis Shammai is talking about, specifically about the case of gizis and vlodos, not about changes in value, just changes in market value from one to four zuzim or whatever. Dekatani, yes. Dekatani, Beis Shammai miyoka b'chaser over yeser, because Beis Shammai uses the expression that he gets punished according to the chaser and the yeser. Chaser and yeser implies it's missing something which it had before, such as the wool, or it gained something which it didn't have before, such as the baby. V'leikotani, Rashi says in other words, v'leikotani, zel v'yoker. Instead of the Mishnah could have used the word zero that it became cheaper, or yoker that it became more expensive, but it didn't, showing that that's actual machlokes. Shmami, no, that proves that that's a machlokes, it's about shram.
By the washing,
yeah. Tosfos actually says that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that they don't also argue about the case of a change in price. They do argue about that as well. Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai don't disagree on that. Tosfos learns that Rabbi Akiva is the one who would disagree on that point. Okay.
Rabbi
Akiva would say there's two machlokas in the Shvach as well as Zoel v'Yoker. Whereas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel themselves would say that we agree on Zoel v'Yoker. I'm going up and down in price. Okay. We said Rabbi Akiva in the Keshach HaTviya. Om Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, halacha ke Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva that you go according to the time when he takes into Beis Din. However, Rabbi Akiva does agree, if there are Edim, how much it was worth at the time when he actually stole it. So these Edim are testifying on two things. A, that he stole it, and B, how much is it worth? Then Rabbi Akiva agrees that you go according to the time of the Gzeila, rather than the time when he takes it away. Why? My timer. The Omakra, because the Pasuk says, La'asher hu lo yitnenu b'yei mashmasai, to the one to whom it belongs, you should give it on the day when he is guilty. Now, if there's no Edim, then he's guilty when he's taken to Beis Din. Otherwise, when there's Edim, then he's already obligated to pay on the basis of their Edus. As soon as the Edim see him do it, already then he's potentially guilty because the Edim know all the facts. They know that he stole it and they know how much it was worth. So therefore, so that's the difference Rabbi Akiva would say.
What does it say in the Pasuk?
It's a Pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayikra. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say it goes according to the value at the Yom HaShemoseh, which is when there were Edim, or if there was no Edim when he takes it. Wait. Omer Rav Oshia Rav Yehuda. So now Rav Oshia asked Rav Yehuda, Rebbe, after Omer Kain, are you telling me like that Rabbi Akiva makes that distinction between whether there's Edim or not? Hachi Omer Rav Asi Omer Rav Yechanan. You should know that Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yechanan, Cholok Hayu Rav Akiva, Afilu B'makam Sheyesh Edim. That no, Rav Akiva disagreed even when there are Edim. He would still say that you go according to the time when it comes to Beis Din. My time, the same pasuk, or Beis Din, who don't come a chayv le'ashma. It's the Beis Din that obligates him and makes him liable to pay. You can't say the Edim potentially do. The fact is, it's the Beis Din.
Yeah,
it's the decision of the Beis Din.
that retroactivity to the time of the age.
No, but we don't. Rabbi Yochanan said that. No. Okay. So what is the halacha? So, Amalit Abzeira, Lord of Abba Bapapa. One time, Abzeira, who lived in Babel at the time, says to Rabbi Abba Bapapa, who was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, Ki mot ki azlos lahasim, when you are going to there, meaning to Eretz Yisrael, akif asulma ditzur, detour around to the ladder of Sur, which is the mountains in the north of Eretz Yisrael, Rosh HaNikra, that area. Rosh HaNikra, that area. Sur is nowadays in Lebanon, but the mountain range that leads up to it is called Sulma de Sur. It's the area of Rosh HaNikra nowadays, yeah. So go around the long way to there. Go visit Rabbi Yaakov Eidi, who lives there in Sur. And ask him, Ishmi Leila Rabbi Yochanan Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva, or Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva. Ask him, he was one of Rabbi Yochanan's great Talmidim, ask him if he heard from Rabbi Yochanan whether the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva or not. Amalei, so sure enough he did, and Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi told him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yes, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva L'Oilam. The Halacha is always like Rabbi Akiva. Now what do you mean, my L'Oilam? Don't think like what Rabbi Yehuda said, that it only applies, that Rabbi Akiva only holds his opinion when there's no Edim, but if there are Edim, then he would agree, like what Rabbi Yehuda said. No, with Edim or without Edim, Rabbi Akiva says you still go according to the time when it's taken to Beis Din.
So when
he's taken to Beis Din, yeah. When the owner of the thing takes him to Beis Din. The inami, or another possibility, what Rabbi Yochanan meant by la'olam, da'had re'laduch te'v'itra. Even if he returned it to its original place after doing shlichus yad, and then it broke on its own, he would still be chayim. In which case, la'poki midr Rabbi Shmuel, da'am aloi be'in and da'af by them. In which case, we'd be saying you should know not like Rabbi Shmuel, who we learned the other day says that in that case, you don't need da'af by them. Once you returned it to the proper place, you don't need to inform the owner. You're potter from there. No. Kamash malon to be'in and da'af by them. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would be telling us that no, you need da'af by them. However, the Rava Amar Halacha Kebetzil. However, Rava says, no, never mind all of that. The Halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha is like Betzil. And Rashi makes a point of saying over here, because Rava came after Rabbi Yochanan, and the usual rule is Halacha Kabasroi, we go according to the later opinion, therefore the Halacha ends up being like Rava.
Because Rava came after
Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore if he says the Halacha is like Beis Hillel against Rabbi Yochanan, it means he considered what Rabbi Yochanan had to say, and had reason to argue against it.
Implying that before he came, the halacha was like Rabbi Akiva.
Implying that before that, yeah, the halacha hadn't yet been decided. If you went to Horns of Rabbi Yochanan, then you would have passed him like Rabbi Akiva. Now that Rava comes along and tells us enough, then we know the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva.